Well, as you know, we've been studying through the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So if you'll turn with me there in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 12. The notes also have the verses in there, so you feel free to look at your notes. Hebrews chapter number 12. And over this past few weeks, we've been looking at the subject of God's teaching in our lives. God uses the word chastening in the Bible, and that word means to teach. It means to correct in the area of discipline, but it also means to teach and to educate. And that's one of the reasons our study this year in this class is called With Christ in the School of Faith. And the encouraging thing is we are all in school together. You know, when you and I were in school, do you remember when tests were coming up, when exams were coming up? It was a helpful thing and a comforting thing to know, wasn't it, that you weren't alone in preparing for that exam. You weren't alone in preparing for that assignment. How many of you ever went up to your friend and said, hey, have you started your assignment yet? And when they said no, and you hadn't, that was an encouragement as well, they were at the same stage as you. And the good news is, as Christians, we are all in the same boat. Amen? And that's one of the reasons why God created the church, because He wants us to be in a place where we can encourage one another, where we can be comforted and built up and encouraged that, yes, God deals with us the same way. And we are all in the school of faith together as Christians, and He works in our lives. Though He deals with us in different areas, He is the same God, and we are in the same school of faith together. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 is what we'll look at this morning. And God continues to teach us about this subject of chastening. Hebrews chapter 12, notice verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, furthermore, so there's more to know, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they, verily for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but He, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. The verses we're going to look at this morning and look in detail about what they mean are verses that continue to describe God's training program. We are in a training program. We are in a school of faith. And notice the first word in verse 9, furthermore. Well, what does that mean? That means God wants us to know more. Would you agree? Very simply, God says, I need you to know more. Okay, we're not going to stop yet. There's more to know about this life of faith, this area of discipline and education called chastening, this area of training. Now, this year, 2016, if my memory serves me right, is the year that the Summer Olympics have come around again. And supposedly this year it's in the city of Rio, and thousands of athletes will gather together for one short event for a few weeks in the year to compete for the 2016 Summer Olympics. And these athletes will compete in more than 30 events, and the world will watch on as they see them race, as they see the performances, as they witness the medals being awarded. But what is not seen by the world when people watch the Olympics is all the training that goes behind those performances, all the training that goes behind all the final races. Countless hours have been put in. Rigorous discipline has been put in to bring that athlete to the Olympics. And all that effort is designed for one reason, for that athlete to be the very best that they can be in order to represent their country. Now, that's the Olympics. Now, the Bible tells us, remember, in Hebrews chapter 12, something about our education. The Bible says in verse number 1, at the end of the verse, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. So our life in the school of faith is also described as a race. We are running a race. We are being trained. But our training is not for the Olympics, is it? Our training is for the Lord, and God is our master trainer. He is our master trainer. If you've just joined us, we haven't had any blanks yet. We're just giving a little introduction. But God is the ultimate trainer for every believer. He is the one that trains us. He is the one that deals with us to bring us up. And our performance in the Christian life is connected to the training that we have endured. God says, I want you to endure my training. Now, how many of you have ever been in a sport, perhaps when you were younger or at school, when you had to do PE, physical education, and you just didn't feel like taking part? You didn't want to run the cross country, you didn't want to maybe play the sport that day, you weren't feeling well, or you were just feeling lazy and you didn't want to do it. But at the end of the day, we needed some encouragement to keep going. And the teacher often was good at that. When he says, no, you need to take part, put on your sports clothes and hurry up. And, you know, we need teachers, we need the Lord to train us so that we can be all that we can be in the Christian life. And that is God's training program. And if we endure the chasing, if we endure the correction, if we endure the training that God gives us, then you and I can reach our potential for the Lord. You and I can be like these heroes of the faith of old that, no, they were not perfect by any means, but they allowed God to do His will in their lives. They allowed God to chasten them. They allowed God to train them up, and they graduated with a good report. Reaching your potential and reaching my potential for the Lord means we need to understand some more about God's training program. So furthermore, God says, well, what does He want us to learn? Well, notice with me in your notes, the first blank in your notes there, the first word to write in is the word lifetime. We are part of a lifetime of training. So the first word to fill in is the word lifetime. If you miss any blanks, they're at the bottom of the back page, just to help you out. A lifetime of training. Notice where God begins in verse 9. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And God brings it back to the point of our families, of our parents. Now, regardless whether our parents were Christians or not, God designed the home for a reason. He designed the home for a purpose. It was His idea. It wasn't ours. If man had an idea, they wouldn't have designed the family. They would have designed something else. But God is the one who designed the family. He designed parents. He designed children to be brought up in a family. Why? So that children can be trained, educated, protected, looked after. And that's God's plan. And our training doesn't just begin at an adult stage, it begins at a younger stage. It begins when you and I are children, and our whole lives are a process of training. Our whole lives are a process of growing. And as Christians, in verse 11, we can only enjoy that fruit, that wonderful result from all the training, if we endure to the end. And there's a reason why God speaks about fathers and childhood. And just a thought as we look into these verses, you know, the earlier we allow God to help us, to train us, to change us, the better. A well-known evangelist was preaching at a large meeting, and he saw two, and he said to the pastor of that church, he said, Pastor, I saw 2.5 people saved last night. And he said, well, does that mean 2 adults and 1 child? And he said, no, 2 children and 1 adult. And he said to the pastor, he said, you see, the two children have the rest of their lives to live for God, but the adult only has half a life left. And you see, the earlier you and I start to allow God to train us, the better. The earlier, the better. But the devil wants to convince us, doesn't he? And especially young people, The devil wants to convince you that you have the rest of your life to live for God, so just wait until you're 40 or wait until you're 50. Just have fun now. Live as you please. Don't worry about the rest of your life. There's plenty of time to live for God. That's the devil's lie. But God says, no, the earlier we are trained, the better. The earlier we are trained, the better. Is that better? I'm not going to apologize for the rain because we need it. Amen. The earlier we're trained, the better. So, our lifetime is a lifetime of training. Our lifetime is a lifetime of training. And especially for those of you who are in Christian homes and you have Christian families, Christian parents, God has put them in your life to help you, to train you, to build you up in this life of faith that He has given us. See, there's a connection there between parents and the Lord. And there'll never be a better time to start than right now. If you're an adult and you might say, well, look, I'm old now and I'm not young anymore. You know, I've missed some opportunities. Let me encourage you not to be discouraged. The best time to allow God to help you is right now. Amen? The best time to turn your life around to God is right now. And God is able to do the miraculous even in our old age. Rather than being discouraged, let's say to the Lord, Lord, I need you to work in my life right now. So our lifetime is a lifetime of training. Notice in your notes also, secondly, that we have multiple trainers. There in your notes, the next blank is the word multiple. On the second page, if you turn it around, point number two, multiple trainers. So God says that we have had fathers, parents, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. And then we see that God corrects us also. And just a little thought as we look into these verses once again, that yes, God chastens us, God corrects us, but He puts other people in our lives to help us as well. He puts other people in our lives, whether they be parents, whether they're our teachers, whether they're pastors. God puts people into our lives to help us, to build us up in the Christian life. Now, of course, there are many trainers, but only one master. But He puts others in our life that are serving the Master to help train us. Now, as parents, my wife and I, we realized very earlier on that we are not God. Our children, yes, are given to us for a while to train them, but we are not God. We cannot make them do everything. We can help them and educate them, but the best that my wife and I can do is to train them up in the way that they should go. And God has put us as parents in our children's lives to help them, to correct them, to protect them, to educate them, and to love them and to nourish them in their young lives. And yes, God chastens us, He deals with us, He corrects us and disciplines us, but my point is that God puts other people in our lives too. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize that. And we need to be willing to allow the Lord to use other people in our lives, to use others that God has put there in a place of leadership. You know, I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful that God put him in my life to challenge me, to rebuke me, to compel me, and even to excite me to be more for God. I'm thankful for the teachers. I'm thankful for the best man at my wedding. And Joel knows Brother James. He led me to the Lord, and he was the one witnessing to me, telling me about the Lord before I was a Christian. And he stuck by me and when things were tough. And he was right there in my life as a young Christian to tell me what God says in His Word, to help me through the challenging times of just being saved and being a single young adult man and all the challenges in my life. You know, I'm thankful for the people that God put in my life. And I trust that as a Christian, you're thankful for the people God has put in your life. And we need to be willing to allow God to use other people to train us, to use other people in our lives, to reach the same goal that He desires, that you and I would live by faith. Here are three evidences that we have the right attitude towards people that God has put in our life. Notice there in your notes, the first is being correctable. Are we willing to be corrected? Now that's a big test, isn't it? You know, if our first response when we are corrected is, hey, who do they think they are to tell me that? Then we're not willing to be correctable. You know, if that is always our first response when someone says desires to help us and to correct us, someone that God has put in our life, and we respond by saying, hey, who do you think you are? Then obviously we're not willing to be changed. We're not willing to be trained. We're not willing to be helped by the Lord with others around us. You see, God puts helpers in our lives. Secondly, He's showing respect. Verse 9 says that they gave their fathers reverence. These were Jews that had become Christians, and the writer is telling these Jews, hey, you remember back in your homes, your fathers disciplined you and you gave them reverence. You respected them. You understood that they were there in your life for a reason. And do we have respect to those who God has put in our lives, godly Christian friends who challenge us to be more for God? Teachers, pastors, Christian parents, do we have respect or do we resent them? Do we resent them? Do we wish that we did not have them in our lives? Do we try to avoid them? You know, that's an indication that we're not willing to be trained. Thirdly, being in subjection. Are we willing to submit to authority as unto the Lord? Yes, there is only one master trainer, but then He puts people in our lives that He uses to get His training done. Isn't that true? He uses other people, not just the pastor. He uses teachers. He uses friends. He uses godly Christian parents. He uses, the unsaved. He even uses unsafe people to rebuke us. Would you agree? You know, I remember when I became a Christian, I loved to spend time in the Word of God, but guess what was happening slowly but surely? I was turning up late for work. I was spending so much time in the Bible and in prayer in the morning as a new Christian, I was arriving late to work. And I thought I was pretty spiritual. I thought I was doing okay. But I was blinded by the fact that, hey, I had a boss, and he expected me to turn up at this time, and I wasn't turning up on time. And one day, things got to the stage where the boss called me into the office, and he was very friendly, he was very kind. And he said, James, you know, you're a great employee, but I need you really to turn up on time. I know you do all the work in the time that we give you, but I need you to turn up on time because this is the time that we start. And that was good for me. I needed to be rebuked, and this was someone who wasn't a Christian. This was someone who wasn't saved. You know, God even puts employers in our life, bosses who may not even be Christians, to help us. Would you agree that everyone that God puts into our lives are there for a reason, whether we like it or not? Because God is in control of all things. He's in control of all people. And yes, we can look back and say, hey, that person in my life didn't help me, or that situation in my life, I don't know if that encouraged me, but God is in control of everything. And we need to be willing to understand that He has a plan. And we can look back and say, I can see why God did that. I can see why God put that person in my life. I can see why God brought me to this church. I can see why God led me along the path that He did. And I'm thankful. And we need to be willing to be helped, to be encouraged, to be trained. The worst decision you and I can make is not being willing to listen to others. Would you agree? If you and I have the attitude that, hey, God is the only one that can tell me what to do, I'm not willing to be told what to do by others, then you and I are in fact in rebellion against God, because He uses other people in our lives. led by Him to help you and I. Just some thoughts in these verses. Some interesting thoughts. Lastly, in your notes, there is profit in training. That's what we'll look at lastly, the profit in training. Your last blank is the word profit. Verse 10 says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." So God is speaking about parents in the home. And He says, look, in comparison to your parents that disciplined you, how much more then should you be willing to allow me to discipline you? And God says regarding these parents, these fathers, to these Jewish Christians, and obviously the Jewish home was set up in a way where children reverenced their father. Oftentimes the sons took their father's occupation and they respected their parents. And they said, look, they chastened you for their pleasure. What does that word pleasure mean there in the Bible? Have you ever read the verse and said, well, does that mean that they were doing it sinfully? That they enjoyed correcting me, disciplining me? Is that what it means? Well, the word pleasure here means to do something that seems good. That's what it means. So, the writer was saying, your parents corrected you in how they saw fit and how they seemed it to be best. Not for their pleasure in that they enjoyed it and they enjoyed correcting. You know, they did it in such a way that they seemed best. Then how much more, as a believer in Jesus Christ, should we be willing for God to correct us, knowing He knows best in everything? Knowing that He in fact corrects us for our own profit. And that's what God is saying, that our training under the Lord is profitable. It's good for us. I'm thankful for the training that I had under my parents. You know, my parents didn't become Christians until they were over 60. And I won't tell you their age or else I'll embarrass them. But they were already over 60 before they became Christians. Yet God still used them in my life to bring me up, because He's in control of everything. He knew what age they would be saved. He knew what age I would be saved. And He used them in my life, though they weren't even saved, to help me. They corrected me. They disciplined me as a child when I was disobedient, when I was naughty, and I was very naughty, and I needed it. I needed to be corrected, because one day I came to the point where I realized, hey, just like I was naughty as a child, and that resulted in punishment, correction, as an adult, I came to the point of realizing that as a sinner, I also deserve God's punishment. I also deserve God's punishment. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against Him. And the Bible tells us that the punishment for sin is death. And the wonderful news is that God has chosen to pay for our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. So we don't need to pay for our sins. We can be forgiven once and for all forever. See, God still uses our parents. God still uses people in our life, and for a reason, for a purpose. And God's point is simply this: how much more are we willing then to allow God to chasten us, to discipline us? How much more, because God is perfect and He does it for our profit. You know, oftentimes it's hard to see the reason why we are suffering. Isn't that true? It's oftentimes hard to see the reason behind that. Let me encourage you, Joseph did not see the reason until the very end. Isn't that true? Remember, Joseph went through years and years and years of suffering and trials, and yet God was faithful and God encouraged him and God blessed him. But those years of suffering continued. He was suffering in his heart. Even as he was elevated to the position of second to the Pharaoh of Egypt, he was still suffering in his heart because of his longing for his brothers and his family and of his brothers' reconciliation. And he was broken in his heart. He was suffering. But it was only until the very end that he looked back and he said to his brothers, you remember, he said to his brothers, "You did this unto me for evil, but God meant it for good." And that's what we need to understand when we are chastened by God. Yes, it's not joyous in the beginning. Yes, it's grievous as we go through it. But God says if we endure, it will be for our profit. It will be for our benefit. It is for our good. Why? Notice in verse 10, that we might be partakers of His holiness. What's the goal of God's training program? Well, it's not for you and I to enter the Olympics. Is that right? If it was, well, probably we'd be out in the rain today on a bike or swimming or running. I dare say those in the race today ought to be in church. Amen? Forgive me. If they're Christians. But the reality is, the Lord's goal of training in our lives, and you're in the right place, is to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Is to be more like the Lord Jesus. Is to be more like Him. That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal of God's training in our lives. To help us to become more like Christ. So He will do what He needs to do to help you and I in areas of our lives. By the way, every athlete is different, is that right? Every athlete is different. Some have strengths and weaknesses in different areas, and God will deal with us individually in the areas that we need the most help in. Is that true? So we need to be careful not to judge one another as well. God deals with you as He sees fit. God deals with me as He sees fit. And we can be encouraged together as Christians that at the end of the day, He deals with all of us. He chastens all of us. You're not alone in the trials of your life. You're not alone. And God helps us, moves us forward for our profit. The goal is to become like the Lord Jesus. Now, as Christians, we need to be content in realizing that if we do not reach all the goals that we have set for our lives, then that's okay. That's the point we need to reach. If we don't reach all the goals we have for our life, that's okay. Some of you may have different lists and plans and goals and plans for your children and goals you might have, some spiritual, some not. But whatever they are, if we don't reach our goals, that's okay. The main thing is we need to let God reach His goal in our life. If we allow Him to do His will in our life, then we will reach our potential for God. See, that's God's training program. That's His priority. And He will have His way. And God says, please, furthermore, understand that it is for our profit. It's for our profit that I step into your life to help you, to discipline you, to train you, to become who I want you to be. And if you and I remain faithful and endure, then we can, and then God will take us further in our lives for His glory. If we quit, if we give up, or if we despise God's chastening, we limit our potential for God. Let me encourage you to submit to the Lord's training program. We don't like that word submit, do we? But these athletes in the Olympics, let me assure you, there was a teacher, a trainer, a disciplinary person in their life that pushed them to the place they needed to be. Why? Because when they got tired, when they got lazy, when they wanted to quit, they needed someone to push them to keep going forward. Now that's sports. In the Christian life, it's the same in the sense that we need God's help. We need to be pushed. We need to be changed. We need to be broken. We need to be disciplined in order to go forward for God. And that's part of His training program. Let me encourage you this week to see the circumstances He's brought into your life as things that God has designed to help us reach the goal He has for us in our Christian life.